Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Here's the pitch, and there's a drive to left field, and this one is way back and gone into the monster seats. A hooking line drive just to the left of the first light standard. It's 2-0 Dodgers. He jumped on that pitch, and Justin Turner hit a bullet, his 11th home run and his 35th RBI. 2-0 Dodgers.
Oh, man, the great Joe Castiglione on the call last night. Your ace, Chris Sale. Rough one for Chris Sale. What do you make your ace? 617-779-7937 is your number. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. How about Chris Sale last night? 5 earned runs on 7 hits. You're pulling him in the 5th inning of the game. That's where we're at with Chris Sale. 3-9, a 4.27 ERA. You've won 6 of his 19 starts. That's where we're now at with Chris Sale. Now, David Price is going to have to clean up his mess again. Because remember, this is what David Price had to do in the postseason last year. Because you figured, all right, Eduardo Rodriguez goes out to the mound on Friday night, has arguably the best start of his career. Considering the circumstances, I would argue that. Best start of Erod's career against that Dodgers lineup, dominates them. 10 strikeouts, 7 innings. You're feeling good about where Erod's at. And then Chris Sale, the guy that just signed on the dotted line for $145 million, he goes out and he lays another egg. He can't get out of the 5th inning. So now David Price, just like he did a season ago, he's going to have to pick up Chris Sale like he did in the postseason. Remember Chris Sale, and I get it, he was injured, but this is where we're at with Chris Sale. He continues to break down, and we saw it last year in September and into August with the shoulder injury. Now it's just inexplicable. They say it's not an injury. The Red Sox say he's not dealing with any sort of injury or anything along those lines. So now you're going to be in a situation where David Price needs to go out there tonight, throw an absolute gem so the Red Sox can take 2 out of 3 in this series. After what Erod did on Friday night, unacceptable that Chris Sale comes out last night and just is awful. He's atrocious right now. That's where Chris Sale is, searching for answers. And you figured, oh, the All-Star break, he'll look at the film. Because remember, we heard Chris Sale say at the beginning of the season, they went back to the laboratory, if you will, and they figured some stuff out with the release point and all this different type of stuff. And they got things right. Because remember, Chris Sale went on a streak there where he looked like, oh, what do you know, an ace. But now it's 4 consecutive starts where the guy hasn't been good. And it's been 3 consecutive starts where he's been absolutely atrocious, giving up at least 5 earned runs. And I remember this once upon a time. Do you remember Sale Day? Remember Sale Day? It wasn't that long ago that we celebrated Sale Day. Every time the Red Sox would tweet out when Chris Sale was pitching on that day, Sale Day. And I'm going to tell you, I got into it because Chris Sale was fun to watch. Chris Sale was the most fun I've had watching a pitcher in Major League Baseball since Pedro Martinez. And I guess I'm biased, of course, because I'm a Red Sox fan. But remember when Pedro Martinez used to pitch? It was more than Pedro on the mound. It was an event. And Chris Sale was getting to that level. Now, don't go crazy. I'm not saying that Chris Sale was ever in the Pedro Martinez category. Pedro's winning the Triple Crown of pitching. I'm not saying that whatsoever. Okay? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying from an entertainment value, Chris Sale was in the family photo there of the most entertaining pitchers in all of Major League Baseball, and he just so happened to play for the Boston Red Sox, which made it that much better. And you think about it, through the years, you had guys like John Lester and Curt Schilling, but you've seen pitchers like that before, not to diminish what they did, but in terms of the entertainment value, Chris Sale was everything. Chris Sale is, you wanted to make sure on every 5th day that you were watching Chris Sale. He was appointment television. He was Game of Thrones or whatever show you love to watch. Breaking Bad, Sopranos, whatever your favorite show was back in the day. That's what Chris Sale turned out to be. He turned out to be appointment viewing. And now what Chris Sale has turned out to be, it's kind of like when your significant other or your wife says, hey, honey, it's time to watch Bachelorette or Jersey Shore, whatever it is. One of those shows that isn't very good, but you're like, yeah, I kind of have to do it because the wife's going to be upset if I don't sit down and watch The Bachelorette or watch The Bachelor or Jersey Shore or one of those housewife shows, whatever it is. So you sit down, you watch the show. That's what Chris Sale's turned into. He's gone from appointment viewing. He's gone from Game of Thrones to The Bachelorette. That's where Chris Sale is at this particular point in time. And now it's getting really, really painful. It is painful. The White Sox start, couldn't find his slider in the first inning. And I've made this comparison. Chris Sale, without his slider, what is he? It's Steph Curry without the ability to shoot a jump shot. Yeah, Steph Curry, great shooter, but he's 6'3". What's he going to do in the NBA without a jump shot? That's what makes him great. It's like if Brooks Koepka couldn't drive the golf ball. Yeah, he's probably not going to be that great if he loses that talent. Chris Sale without his slider, he is a lost man right now on the mound. 617-779-7937. What do you make your ace Chris Sale right now? So you look at that Blue Jays start too. Three home runs on fastballs, and two of those were to the seven hitter and the nine hitter in the Blue Jays lineup. Danny Jansen and Drury. Really? And then last night. Last night was, you're starting to think to yourself, oh boy. Oh boy. Chris Sale, second half of the season. We'll get it together. But no. No, that wasn't the case whatsoever. Because last night, Chris Sale got shelled again. And I was alarmed in the first inning of that game. Because the first batter of that game, I should say, when he's going up against Chris Taylor. And I get it. He was getting squeezed. And Brennan Miller, the home plate umpire, was absolutely atrocious. His zone was terrible. And for the life of me, I don't understand why Major League Baseball has a rookie umpire in that game last night. This is a primetime game on Fox between the Red Sox and the Dodgers. Two of the three biggest franchises in your sport. You got a rookie behind the plate. Come on. Let's pick it up, Major League Baseball. But anyway, what stuck out to me about that was when Chris Sale was arguing with the home plate umpire, what that said to me is, wait, he's concerned about the spots. This is something that like a Tom Glavin would complain about. Or even on this team, more in particular, David Price. Because David Price, at this point in his career, he's a surgeon. He's a painter, right? He's got to paint the outside portion of the plate. He needs those calls. Chris Sale's never been that type of pitcher. Chris Sale's always been a stuff guy. That's what has made Chris Sale so great. The fastball in the mid-90s, up until the upper 90s. And the devastating slider, the best slider I've seen since Randy Johnson. That's what's made Chris Sale great. He's never been a control guy. In fact, he's been labeled multiple times, what? Effectively wild. Effectively wild. And he's upset with the zone. That said to me right then and there, oh boy, he needs the spots. He needs those calls to make sure. Instead of the old Chris Sale, last year would have just been like, screw it, give me the ball. I'll throw 96, 97 behind you, or past you, I should say. And remember last night, later on in that game, he's throwing 90, 91 mile an hour fastballs. Very, very concerning if you're a fan of Chris Sale. So anyway, that concerned me right to begin the game with Chris Taylor at the mound. So then after that, what happens? Taylor, that nine pitch at bat. And then you're thinking to yourself, all right, this is just going to be troublesome for Chris Sale. And then in the third inning of the game, he has that nine pitch at bat with Chris Taylor. And then what happens? He fouls off a bunch of sliders, fouls off a fastball, but he gets him to line out. So you think to yourself, all right, maybe he gets through this. And then he lets his foot off the gas and he throws a 90 mile an hour fastball to Justin Turner that he deposits out of Fenway Park. Because Chris Sale, it was almost like he was exhaling. I finally got through Chris Taylor. There was an at-bat in this game against Austin Barnes, who is the definition of a soft-hitting catcher, that went nine pitches. And I get it. Eventually, he got Austin Barnes to fly out. But Austin Barnes, it took you nine pitches to put him away. That's where Chris Sale's at this particular point in time. He is searching for answers. He is searching to get through guys in the seven, eight, nine holes in orders. And the most disappointing thing to me last night was that fifth inning from Chris Sale. So Xander Bogaerts in the bottom of the fourth, as Bogaerts has done throughout this season, comes up with a big clutch hit, home run, 19th of the season. By the way, that was awesome when Bogaerts hit the home run and he threw the bat down like, yeah, that's what's up. I love that from Xander Bogaerts. But nonetheless, it was all for nothing because what happens in that fifth inning? Yeah, let's go, Chris. Let's give us a shutdown inning. Nope. So after that, Hernandez, the eight hitter in the order, hitting .220 on the season, with a .286 on base percentage. The guy sucks. He's not good. Guess what happens? Hernandez with a base hit. So the eight hitter a base hit. The nine hitter comes up. Austin Barnes, who Chris Sale already had a nine pitch battle with earlier in the game. He hits him. He hits him with a slider. You hit a guy that's hitting .202. Hit a guy that's hitting .202 on the season. Joe Davis on the Fox broadcast last night mentioned the fact that if you look at Hernandez and Barnes, they're in the bottom 10 in the National League on on-base percentage amongst qualified candidates. These guys are horrible. They are horrible. and Chris Sale gives up a hit to one of them, and he hits the other one to start off the fifth inning just after Xander Bogaerts cut the deficit to 2-1. So then after that, he gets Taylor to pop out, but then Turner drills a slider, not down or in, way too much of the plate on a 3-1 count, or rather that makes the game 3-1. So after you see a situation where Chris Sale is given a run back by Xander Bogaerts, Turner drills a slider, and they take a 3-1 lead. So that's his out pitch, right, Chris Sale? That's his slider, his out pitch. Turner drills it. And then the next at bat, David Freese comes up to the plate. He hammers one down the line, 5-1. 5-1, that makes the score. So the Red Sox are done. They're dead after that. Now, they had a chance later on, but they're done. Your starter goes out there. Your ace goes out there. What a deflating feeling. And the thing that stuck out to me about the David Freese at bat was what? He threw him 5 consecutive fastballs. Okay, David Freese is hitting over 300 this season. Over 300. He was scared to throw him a slider because of what Justin Turner just did with his slider. He was afraid to throw him a slider. That's where Chris Sale is at this particular point in time. This guy is afraid to throw his slider to David Freese last night because he didn't have it again.
It's just gotten flat. You know?
Yeah, damn right it's gotten flat. Didn't have it again. And I understand that everybody loves Chris Sale because he's accountable. He's accountable. He tells you when he doesn't pitch well. Well, I'm sorry, man. Like, I'm just getting sick and tired of that. I really am. Like, last night after the game, he says, I'm going out there every fifth day and I'm getting my ass kicked. You think?
Yeah. I've sucked every bit of every last one of them.
Yeah, damn right. He said, I got no other excuses. I'm just not getting it done. There's no other way to paint it. No other way to put it. I've got nobody else to blame. Yeah, you damn right you got nobody else to blame. He said earlier in the season that, quote, he embarrassed his family, team, and fans. I don't care. He's got to turn this thing around. I don't care anymore about Chris Sale being accountable for his actions. And the thing that is really scaring me now is this feels a lot like what happened to Tim Lincecum. Tim Lincecum, remember, is a guy that went from, in 2011, he had a 2.74 ERA, and then he went to a 5.18 ERA in 2012. Never the same guy again. Chris Sale, they tell us he's fine from a health perspective. 2.11 ERA last year, which if he qualified amongst candidates in the league, he didn't pitch enough innings, that would have been third in all of Major League Baseball. This year, he's at 4.27. He's just another guy. He's just another guy. And the reason I compare him to Tim Lincecum is because they're similar in size. Now, I understand that Sale is much taller at 6'6", but remember, Tim Lincecum, small dude, 5'11", but he's 170, okay? Chris Sale's 180. We think about the pitchers that age well. It's the Max Scherzers of the world who weighs 215. It's the Justin Verlanders of the world that is 225. When we look at Chris Sale, he's got the skinniest walkers going, right? His legs are so skinny. And Chris Sale, part of what made him great was that delivery, where you don't see deliveries like Chris Sale. Same thing with Tim Lincecum back in the day. You don't see deliveries like Tim Lincecum. It's a lot of arm. It's herky-jerky. And I'm surprised up until last season that Chris Sale hasn't sustained a lot of injuries throughout his career based on the way that he pitches the baseball. So I'm afraid that this may be the moment where Chris Sale dips off. Because now this is 4 consecutive starts. What tells you that Chris Sale is going to figure it out? What are you looking at right now that jumps off the page and say, yeah, if he just does this, this, and this, he's going to get it back together? Because right now, they have no answers. The Red Sox have no answers. 617-779-7937 is your number. What do you make your ace right now, Chris Sale? Because when I look at Chris Sale, I look at a guy that it seems like at times he's overthrowing his fastball, right? He's overthrowing his fastball to the point where he's missing spots so dramatically because it used to be easy for him. He goes up there and he can easily throw 95, 96. Now, last night in the first inning of the game, he's throwing 95. He's throwing 96. In fact, he got it up to 97 at one point. But later on in the game, as things transpired, he's up there throwing 90, 91. In fact, the home run that Turner hit was 90 miles an hour. Okay, so he's having trouble throwing his fastball at the rate he wants to throw it. And then you look at the slider right now, the out pitch in Chris Sale's arsenal, it's just not there. It's not there whatsoever. So Chris Sale right now is a pitcher that is lost, and they don't have answers. The Red Sox don't have answers. Chris Sale himself doesn't have answers. That's what is the perplexing part to me. They have no answers whatsoever. In fact, I wish it was an injury. I wish we could point to something and say, well, it's something health related. Okay, then you're like, all right, get healthy and then we'll figure it out. Then we'll go from there. But right now, when you look at it, It's not a health issue, according to the Red Sox. It's just this guy can't figure it out. That's the troubling part to me. That is the troubling part to me. And I start to think about it from this perspective as well. What do you think it's like for some of the guys in the clubhouse right now? What do you think it's like for Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers, who have seen this guy go out on the mound and dominate, J.D. Martinez? They're thinking to themselves, is this Chris Sale? Is this really Chris Sale right now? This is four times in a row. This guy's been awful. Three times in a row, he's given up at least five earned runs. We can't go out there and win a series because Chris Sale doesn't show up to the ballpark. That's what we're dealing with right now. And I understand everybody around here likes him because he's gritty, right? He's like the perfect athlete for Boston. That's what Chris Sale is. He was the perfect athlete for Boston. He's accountable. He's gritty. All the quotes he had about signing the contract, he just wants to deal with the baseball stuff. So we all want to love Chris Sale. We all want to love Chris Sale. He's like the opposite of Kyrie Irving, right? Nothing like Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving's the guy that wanted to get out of town. Chris Sale's the guy that wanted to be here. All he cares about is baseball. Everybody gets fired up when he's given that speech last year in the dugout against the Dodgers. He's trying to fire up the guys, get them going in the World Series. Everybody loves this dude. But at what point are people in this town going to start to hold this guy accountable? Because if you really look at the resume, I'm starting to wonder what exactly it is that Chris Sale's done for the fan base here. Okay, I understand it. Like, he was a big part of why you won 108 games last year. There's no doubting that what he did in the regular season, up until September, was great for the Red Sox. But think about it. The past couple of years, when Chris Sale gets to the postseason, what happens? It's not exactly pretty. Not exactly pretty. We think about it back to that Astros series 2 years ago. Yeah, first game he got lit up, gave up three home runs. And then in game four, where you had an opportunity to send it to a game five, Chris Sale comes into that game in relief and he gives up a home run to Alex Bregman to give the Astros the lead back. So he was horrible 2 years ago. Last year, he's basically a non-factor because he's injured. He goes 15 and a third. That's all he could give you in the postseason because he's dealing with injuries. And that's the point. The guy continually breaks down. So at the biggest moments for this team, Chris Sale has not showed up. In fact, Chris Sale in big moments has actually turned into a liability. This is supposed to be your ace, and he's turned into a complete liability when it comes to big moments. That's the thing that concerns me. And that's the thing that I would ask you the question. Why does everybody love this guy? In the biggest moments, he hasn't shown up. David Price had to save him last year. And I would even throw Nathan Eovaldi into that category, right? Nathan Eovaldi went into that Rover role. But David Price is pitching on short rest in the postseason. Okay, and why is he doing it? It's because Chris Sale's body betrayed him. Chris Sale's body betrayed him, and now we're looking at this. Remember this as it pertains to Chris Sale. You know the extension hasn't even started yet, right? The extension kicks in next year. The 5 years, $145 million, and this is the production you're getting out of that guy? This is the production you're getting out of Chris Sale right now? How do you think that contract's going to look in a couple of years? How do you think that contract is going to look a couple of years from now? Oh, it looks ugly right now. So 2-3 years from now? Oh, boy. And all this other stuff that the Red Sox have done, picking up a guy like Andrew Kashner, which, by the way, we can get into that if you'd like. I like the move. It didn't cost you too much. But all this other stuff, right, putting Nathan Eovaldi in the closer role, even if all that stuff pans out, right, Kashner fills up some innings for you at the back end of the rotation. Nathan Eovaldi comes in on his white horse, and he's this great closer like Dave Dombrowski expects him to be. All that stuff doesn't matter if this dude doesn't show up. If number 41 is not a dominant pitcher for the second half of the season, and if number 41 can't carry you in a playoff series, then what is this all for? Because we all know the bullpen is never going to be elite. It's never going to be great, okay? We understand that. This team is built on its starting rotation. And you felt good about Erod. You felt like, oh, okay, maybe this is the third guy now. Maybe Erod will be the Game 3 starter if you get to a hypothetical American League Division Series, right? Maybe he's the Game 3 starter now because Erod, this is three starts in a row where I was impressed with Erod. I was impressed with his Yankee start and, of course, on Friday night. So you were starting to feel good about this team. The lineup is number one in baseball in a lot of statistical categories right now. Runs, average, on base percentage. The lineup has been great. But none of it all matters. None of this crap matters if Chris Sale can't figure it out. And this is one of the things that you were supposed to feel comfortable about coming into the season. Chris Sale is supposed to be dominant from April until August. That's been his resume. But Chris Sale hasn't even been that. Chris Sale has been, right now up until this point, he has been the main issue with this team. Yeah, the bullpen in general has been bad. And we could all acknowledge that the bullpen has been bad, really, really bad at times, right? 18 blown saves. But this is the main guy. He's supposed to make up for some of that stuff. And when you need him, he doesn't show up. Like last night, clinch the series. Feel good about the start to the second half of the season. Can't do it. Two games against the Yankees. Four earned runs this season. That's when you need your ace. That's when you need Chris Sale. And his inability to show up in big moments is startling. And I'm starting to wonder, when are people in this town actually going to hold him accountable? Just because he goes out there every day and tells you he sucks and tells he has to figure it out, everybody's like wants to buy into Chris Sale. Everybody wants to buy into him because he's like the opposite of David Price. With David Price, we always heard the excuses. And this isn't a David Price thing because David Price has been great this season and he was great in the postseason last year. I'm just saying, with David Price, we had excuses. With Chris Sale, he's accountable all the time, but we don't have any answers. We don't have any answers. Why doesn't your slider work anymore? Why can't you throw a fastball? Those are the things I want to know. And clearly, he doesn't have an answer. He does not have an answer. So what gives you any confidence that this is going to get better? 617-779-7937 is your number. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour and a half or so. What do you make of your ace right now, Chris Sale? We'll get to that. Plus, we'll get you trending in just a second here on WEEI.
93.7 FM, WEEI.
That's part of the job. That's part of the job. It's not only put hit and runs and put guys in the right spot out there. You know, it's you got to manage people. And some guys are they feeling good about themselves. Others, you got to help them out, you know, to let them know how good they are, you know, and don't forget. Oh, no, I mean, he's fine now. You know. Obviously, I knew probably what he was going to say, but he's fine. We're working on it for the next one. You know, that's something about Chris, you know. He shows up every day. He's the same guy.
All right, that's Alex Cora last night on his ace. 617-779-7937 is your number. What do you make of Chris Sale right now? Brian Barrett with you for the next 90 minutes or so, taking you up until Red Sox baseball. I put none of this on Cora whatsoever, by the way. None of it on Cora, okay? I understand he's going to go up there, stick up for his guy. That's what he needs to do, okay? But none of this is on Cora. None of this is on Dana Lavangi. None of it is on the coaching staff. It's on the pitcher, okay? Because last night, remember, the excuse that I was hearing, and look, I understand this to some degree, he needed his binky back, right? He needed Sandy Leon back behind the plate, did Chris Sale. He needed his binky back because, all right, the numbers dictate that. I'm not lying. The numbers do dictate that, all right? You look at it in terms of when he's been throwing to Vasquez, his ERA is over 6. And then when he throws to Leon, his ERA is under 3. So clearly that was the right move for Alex Cora to make, and I understand that. And Chris Sale has earned the right to have a personal catcher. I'm fine with that. But I'm just saying, I thought that was going to be a difference because that's what I was hearing 2 weeks ago on Red Sox Review. Oh, if they just give him Sandy Leon back, he's going to be fine. Oh, really? How do you look last night? How do you look last night? And oh, by the way, as it pertains to one Sandy Leon, because I've heard he's the greatest play caller in the history of baseball. Really? I mean, okay. So last night, you have a guy that is barely off the DL, or IL, sorry. It's his second time back from the IL, second game back from the IL, and A.J. Pollock in the first inning, after Chris Sale puts two guys on base, he throws him a changeup. He throws him a changeup. First of all, Chris Sale's changeup is not that good. His slider and his fastball are much better, although I guess at this particular point in time, that's up for debate as well. But why is Sandy Leon calling for a changeup there to a guy that's just coming off the IL that has to get used to the speed of the game again? Just throw a fastball by him. He's just coming off the IL. So Sandy Leon, this great play caller, calls a changeup there to A.J. Pollock. No reason for it. Throw 95 by him. Because Chris Sale was throwing 95, 96 in the first inning. Throw that by him, okay? Don't play around with a guy just coming off the injured list. That made no sense to me whatsoever. But you know what Chris Sale reminds me of right now? I remember when I was a kid, I used to go to Richardson's in Middleton, go to the batting cage, right, get some hacks in. That's what Chris Sale is. Chris Sale is like the batting cage pitcher, you know? Those little yellow balls that come out of there. That's what he is like to major league hitters. Ah, batting practice time. Chris Sale's coming to the mound. 617-779-7937 is your number. What do you make your ace right now? Let's go to Ann in Cambridge. What's up, Ann? Hey, Ann, turn down your radio, man. What's going on?
Yeah, sounds good. My ace, Chris Sale, you know, I like to think of it as just a slump, okay? I mean, like Chris Sale, as we all know, you know, he's Boston's ace as far as we're concerned, and he's had his up and down.
Hey, hold on, Ian, one second. I don't agree with you on that. I don't think he's your ace. I think David Price is. David Price is the one that got it done in the postseason. He's been your best pitcher this season. I don't think you can call Chris Sale your ace right now.
I think we can. Chris Sale did close our World Series.
Oh, great. I mean, anybody could have. The game was over. You're going to give him credit for striking out Manny Machado? Like, come on, man. He did nothing for the Red Sox in that series. That old playoff run was about Price. It was about Eovaldi. It was not about Chris Sale. Okay, they carried Chris Sale.
Okay. Well, Chris Sale was injured. Now, we don't have to forget that. And we must always remember that Chris Sale, he's truly the leader of this team, right? Strikeout records with all the things he has done for this team.
Sure.
Players have... Sorry?
I said, sure, you're right. He had a great season.
Yeah, players get down. And Chris Sale, he has great self-confidence. Okay? He knows when he's not doing well. Excuse me. He takes responsibility for his actions. You know, he will tell himself that he sucks. And I do admire that. And I feel like as if his teammates admire that. And that is the leadership that the Boston Red Sox need right now. And you talk about his million-dollar contract, or not multi-million, of course.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of it, his true leadership and the heart that everybody loves Chris Sale in Boston. And I believe that within time, he will work his way back up to the top and be the Chris Sale that we know and love.
I hope you're right, Ann, and I appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. And I get it that all his teammates love him. But at what point are his teammates going to start to question the guy? At what point is that going to happen? Because I'm seeing a guy going out on the mound right now, and he's throwing batting practice. At what point are some of the guys out there going to be like, what? They thought that they were in a position to win that series last night. You feel good about it. Your ace is going out to the mound, right? After what Erod was able to do on Friday night, you feel great if you're a member of the Red Sox last night. And you figure out a little slump before the All-Star break, three bad games, right? You give them the benefit of the doubt because you know Chris Sale is just so damn talented. That's what you're doing as a member of that team last night. But at what point the guys in that clubhouse start to lose faith in Chris Sale? Are they just going to say, oh, yeah, he'll eventually figure it out? He's going to figure it out. How many of those is this guy going to get? How many of those is he going to get? Because we keep saying it. We keep hearing it all year long that Chris Sale's going to figure it out. Well, at what point is that going to happen? At what point is Chris Sale going to turn the corner? I thought maybe after the All-Star break, that would be the time, right? Because he got some time to unwind, and maybe they went back into the lab. They figured out what was going on with Chris Sale. They figured out what was wrong with Chris Sale. But clearly, they did not figure out what was wrong with Chris Sale. Alex Cora is saying they got to figure it out. No, he doesn't. Alex Cora doesn't have to figure it out. There's nothing he can do. When a guy can't throw a slider that was his out pitch anymore, there's nothing the manager can do. When he can't locate his fastball anymore, there's nothing that the manager can do about that. This isn't on Alex Cora. This is on nobody but Chris Sale. And what it looks like to me is it looks like a pitcher that normally when we get to September, Chris Sale starts to break down. And now he's already starting to break down. And we're in July. The time when you need Chris Sale. The time when Chris Sale has been good in the past. And he's already breaking down. That's what scares me. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Larry in the Cape. What's up, Larry?
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you got, Larry?
I was at the game last night, and the whole team looked slack. It's really distressing. I've never seen so many full counts where they just, it's not to their advantage. And the game, way long, it's such a, I don't know what to say, but I've never quite seen anything like this. An hour and a 15 minutes into the third inning.
Oh, yeah, it took forever, Larry. I'm with you on that.
Long.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and I appreciate the phone call. You got a tough line. Where the hell was that guy, in a wind tunnel? Come on, pick up your phone game, Larry. But anyway, the point is a good point. The reason that that team looked lifeless last night was because of Chris Sale's effect. Because I saw after the Bogarts home run, after Bogarts hit that home run to make it 2-1, I saw a lot of energy coming out of that clubhouse, or I should say, coming out of the dugout. Mookie Betts goes up, they do that thing, they take the helmet off. Xander Bogarts. Bogarts is fired up. I loved Bogarts after the home run, kind of threw the bat down. I thought there was a ton of energy coming from that dugout after Bogarts hit the home run. But then what happens is Chris Sale takes the life out of not only Fenway Park, but he takes the life out of his teammates as well, because he goes back out there and he gives them a three spot in that inning. That's where the life went out for the Red Sox, because they knew the game was over. They knew the game was over at that particular point in time. When your starter, or not just that the game was over, but the frustration level is growing with this team, because they are out there and they're cutting the lead to 2-1. You get a big moment in the game, and then this happens. Your ace goes back onto the mound and he performs poorly, as he's been doing for the past couple of starts. And at what point are they going to start to lose faith in the guy? Let's get to Owen. What's going on, Owen?
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you got, man?
I agree 100% with El Sale, and you know, they all have to talk about he takes accountability, but what good is that if he doesn't do it on the mound?
Right. Oh, and that's my point. If it happens once or twice and he is accountable like we've seen earlier in the year, that's fine. But he's done it now for four consecutive starts. It means nothing to me whatsoever. Great. He's acknowledging the fact that he sucks, but at what point is it going to get better? That's why I don't care about it anymore that he's accountable. People love the fact that he says I didn't pitch well. Great. It doesn't change the results.
What about Kasner? Whose spot is he taking, do you know?
Well, he's going to take that fifth spot in the rotation. Well, the bullpen spot. Remember, they keep doing this bullpen day every fifth day. So now they got somebody that they can put in terms of the five spot in the rotation. And Kasner, he's actually been pretty good this year. He's having one of his better seasons. And the past couple of starts, he's gone seven innings. And you're getting an average of three innings out of the guys in the five spot. So he should help. But it's not going to be worth it, Owen, if the ace of the staff, Chris Sale, or should be the ace of the staff, doesn't show up.
You know, it gets me, too. One more thing. I'll let you go. Velasquez and Walden. They're not even major league pitchers. I wish, you know, they shouldn't even be on the roster.
Who was the first one you said, Owen? Walden and who?
Velasquez.
Oh, yeah.
Velasquez.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I agree with you. I appreciate the call, Owen. You can grab his line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. You remember when Dave Dombrowski, oh, man. You remember when Dave Dombrowski was saying, I can't wait till we get some of these guys back. Stephen Wright and Hector Velasquez, really? Hey, you see Stephen Wright last night? Hey, he looks good. Looks really good. He looked good against the Yankees when Gardner was taking him out of the ballpark. That's really something they pointed to. I'm not kidding. We have the audio. Dave Dombrowski said, can't wait to get some of these guys back. Hector Velasquez. Yeah, he looks good. Good pitcher. Yeah, really good. The Yankees got Canely coming out of their bullpen. Ottavino, they got Chapman. Yeah, the Red Sox. They're going with the knuckleballer, Stephen Wright, who's been atrocious. I mean, you know how bad Stephen Wright has been? You have this game the other day against the Tigers right before the All-Star break. 9-6 going into the ninth inning. The Tigers are literally the worst lineup in baseball, and you have to get Heath Embry-Hutt in the bullpen. Got to get him warming up because you're not sure that Stephen Wright can get out of an inning against the Tigers. That's how bad he's been. I completely agree with that. Those guys are both horrible. And Walden, by the way. Walden's not good either. Yeah, he pitched well at the beginning of the season, but we've all seen. He's turned back into a pumpkin, okay? He's turned back into a pumpkin. That guy's not good. Nobody's scared of Walden. 617-779-7937 is your number. What do you make of Chris Sale right now? Brian Barrett with you. Let's get to Harry in Quincy. What's going on, Harry?
Yeah, so as a baseball club, the Red Sox are going into a big stint right now to try to win the division. But I feel like if Chris Sale is pitching the way he does, the division's already out of reach, and we better be hoping for a wild card spot chasing Oakland.
Good.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Harry. You can grab his line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. I appreciate the call, Harry. But, yeah, I understand where you're coming from with that, but I don't think they're competing for the division anyway. I really don't think they're competing for the division whatsoever, because you look at it now, you already look it up at the Yankees in terms of, what are you, nine games back? Yeah, if you get in, it's going to be a wild card spot. You're not competing for the division. I get you're saying you don't think it's going to happen because Sale is pitching poorly, but this thing's already wrapped up. I mean, the Yankees are winning this division, so your best hope is getting into a postseason series, getting into that wild card game and winning that. Imagine this, though. You were thinking to yourself before the season, if hypothetically you did get into a wild card game, because this was possible. It was possible because the Yankees were so good last year as well. They won 100 games. So it was possible that you could be in a situation where you would be playing in a wild card game, but you thought Chris Sale would be pitching it, right? What's Chris Sale now in terms of the options in pitching your wild card game? Well, I put David Price ahead of him. I put Erod in front of him right now. And Andrew Kastner is probably going to be in front of him the way Chris Sale's pitching right now. Let's get to Johnny in Abington. What's going on, Johnny?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, what do you got, Johnny?
Basically, I can't believe how impressed I am with your take on Chris Sale and what he is. He is, for 2 years now, going on almost 2 years straight, one of the worst pitchers in the American League. And we have all these people, these talking heads saying, oh, don't worry about Chris Sale. He strikes out 10, 12 guys a game. Now, that's great. He pitches basically 4 to 5 runs per four innings, and also he, in the first two innings, it takes him roughly 50 to 60 pitches to get six outs.
Oh, and last night it was atrocious. What was it, 24
horrible.
Pitches?
It's horrible to watch.
Yeah, last night it was 24 pitches. And you know what that tells me, Johnny, is he doesn't have his stuff anymore. He doesn't have the stuff that he once had because in the past when Chris Sale was great, and we've all witnessed it, he was mowing guys down easily. And another thing, Johnny, you look at it last night, how slow is he working? Remember, this is a guy that used to get the ball and just throw it. He didn't care because he knew, Johnny, his stuff was better than you could do at the plate. He knew you had no chance when you stepped into the batter's box.
Here's the problem. You've got Rodriguez, E-Rod, who about 70% of the time throws a pretty good game. You got Price that throws about 80% of the time a pretty good game. And then you got Sale, Porcello, and that fifth starter that they throw out that's so bad. It's hard to watch.
Yeah, well, Johnny, they didn't make a trade. They did make a trade to try to fix up that fifth spot. They got Cashner over from the Baltimore Orioles, so we don't have to deal with the Hector Velasquez's of the world, the Josh Smith's of the world, the Ryan Weber's of the world in that five spot anymore. So they did do that.
And also, here's one small point. When Brock Holt plays, the Red Sox record is unbelievably good. And when... what's his face?
Nunez
plays. The record is 19 games below 500. and Cora keeps going with him. I don't understand why. We got two first basemen. You got Pierce and Moreland that have disappeared, like they're off the face of the earth now.
Yeah, Moreland's doing a rehab thing, and Pierce is hurt right now.
I know where they are.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a second baseman that's, well, we have no idea where he is. And then you have a left fielder that can't hit. You got a center fielder that can't hit except 1 month a year. He hits 350. It blows my mind. But I appreciate you saying the truth about Sale. Sale is not only one of the worst pitchers now in American League, but he's got a 5-year contract at almost $150 million. Unbelievable to me.
That's the alarming thing. I appreciate the call, Johnny. That's the alarming thing. Right now, you look at Chris Sale, 4.27 ERA. That's 55th in Major League Baseball. Last year, his ERA, if he had enough innings, would have been third in the league. 55th in Major League Baseball. You're talking about guys like Tanner Roark and Brett Anderson who have better ERAs right now than a guy that you just gave that contract extension to in Chris Sale. It's tough to watch. It is really tough to watch because people want to love Chris Sale. People want to like Chris Sale because he wants to stay here. He's gritty. He's intense. He's accountable. People want to like him. But the reality of it is now, eventually they're going to turn on Chris Sale too because he just can't perform right now. 617-779-7937 is your number if you want to hop on board here. What do you make of your ace? What do you make of your Red Sox at this particular point in time? Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
93.7 FM, WEI.
Swinging a line shot ripped down the left field corner. That's going to bounce, and it's up against the monster. In to score Hernandez, down to third is Barnes, and romping into second base with a double that drives in another run is Justin Turner. That may get the Red Sox bullpen active.
All right, that was Dave O'Brien on the call last night. Chris Sale getting knocked around by the Dodgers. Hey, at least it was a good team he got knocked around by, because remember he got knocked around by the Blue Jays and the White Sox most recently. 617-779-7937, your number. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so here in WEI. Take you up until Red Sox pregame as David Price will look to pick up Chris Sale, as he's done many times going back to the postseason a year ago. This is what sticks out to me, though, about Chris Sale is you remember when they gave Chris Sale that extension, because this is frightening, the fact that he hasn't even started that extension yet. Kicks in next season. The 5 years, $145 million. And this is not even in that extension yet, and he's already pitching poorly. I always said when this was originally agreed to, why don't you make him prove himself in September? Chris Sale, the past three Septembers, he has an ERA north of 350. He's given you nothing in the postseason the past 2 years. You're giving him the contract now. What? At least make him prove it. At least make him prove he wants to be here. And the other thing they pointed to is they didn't want to botch it. Ownership pointed to this. They didn't want to botch the contract situation like they did with John Lester. Remember when they lowballed John Lester famously? Well, here's the difference between John Lester and Chris Sale. Like, these are not similar situations. John Lester in 2013, after he was looking for that contract extension before the 2014 season. This is what John Lester did in the 2013 World Series run the Red Sox made. He gave you 34 and two-thirds innings. His ERA was a 1.56. The guy was dominant. That run was about David Ortiz at the plate, which I still have no understanding why Mike Matheny kept pitching to the guy. But nonetheless, getting back to the original point, it was about Ortiz and it was about Lester on the mound. Sale in 2018. Okay, they didn't want to botch the contract like they did with John Lester. Sale in 2018.
I think we blew the John Lester. You know, we blew re-signing him in spring training.
Yeah, there it is. There's John Henry right there. Chris Sale in 2018. 4.11 ERA in the postseason. He gave you 15 and a third. John Lester gave you 34 and two-thirds. Chris Sale gave you 15 and a third at a 4.11 ERA. John Lester, a 1.56 ERA. 1.56. And they're comparing these two things. They're not comparable. They're not comparable. I get that Chris Sale's been the better regular season pitcher throughout his career than John Lester has. But Chris Sale's also proven to you, since he's put on a Red Sox uniform, even going back to his final year in Chicago, that Chris Sale breaks down as the season progresses. Like when you get to September, Chris Sale breaks down. And another thing I would point to is this with Chris Sale. Do you remember what the narrative was coming out of spring training? The narrative that we were getting is that they wanted to make sure these guys are going to be ready for the second half of the season, that they're going to be healthy for the postseason, because guess what? They pitched a lot last year during the postseason. Well, with the exception of Chris Sale, they pitched a lot of innings last year, coming off a deep run to the World Series. I get it with David Price, because he actually did carry the team. But nonetheless, when it comes to Chris Sale, he was going to be fresh for the second half of the season. Well, hold on. Wait a second. He's pitching the worst he's pitched in his career, and now we're in the second half of the season. Racked twice by the Blue Jays, racked by the White Sox, now racked by the Dodgers. So this whole plan that they came up with, remember, we were dismissing, don't worry about the beginning of the season when they got after that 3-8 start. They'll figure it out. The starting pitching will turn things around. And a lot of guys did, like David Price turned it around. Chris Sale, we thought we did. But now he's back to the Chris Sale that we saw at the beginning of the season. So at this particular point in time, you can't point to the fact that they eased him into the season, right? You can't look at that right now, because now we're past the midway point of the season. We're in the second half of the season, and we're seeing Chris Sale, the same version of this Chris Sale that we had at the beginning of the season. So what's the excuse now? It makes no sense to me whatsoever. So Chris Sale is somebody that historically breaks down towards the end of the season. Now he's just so happening to do it in July. He's doing it a little early this year. And I don't know how anybody out there can legitimately have faith that Chris Sale is going to turn it around. What tells you that he's going to turn it around? He has no answers whatsoever. You hear him at the podium every night after he loses, says he's just got to be better. He's got to be accountable. He is accountable, but he's got to be better. He's got to figure it out. Alex Cora has no answers. Alex Cora says they have to figure it out. And I don't put this on Cora. I understand what Cora is saying. He wants to help his player, but there's nothing they can do right now. At the beginning of the season, they said there was a little adjustment they could have made. Now, if that was the case in this particular scenario, don't you think they would have done that over the All-Star break? Don't you think they've watched Chris Sale through every pitch? Don't you think they've done that over the past couple of days? And they didn't find anything, clearly, or at least if they did find something, he's not being able to go out there and execute the new plan, if you will. Hasn't figured it out. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Tom in Somerville. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, how are you?
Good. What do you got, man?
That, listen, the only thing is, you're bagging on Sale. You're bagging him like it's a pinata, right?
Yep.
Price did the same thing for three.
Yeah. And Tom, what happened when Price was pitching that way?
Yeah, what happened? He sucked.
Yeah, what happened? Everybody was all over him.
Right. And you're all over Price. But Price only been here for what? How long you been here?
No, I'm not all over Price. Price been great this season.
Yeah, you are.
What did I say about Price?
I mean, you're all over Sale. You're all over Sale.
Oh, yes. You think Sale's right. Pitched well? I mean, what's the defense of Sale right now? He's had four consecutive bad starts. I mean, I don't get it.
Yeah. Listen, Sale's a better pitcher than Price. All of a sudden, Price had one
right
good
now?
Year out of the last five.
Really? You think he's better than Price right now?
He's better than Price all his whole career.
Yeah, he's had he's had a better career, I guess, but you're talking about right now?
Yeah.
How is he better than
he
him?
Is.
Tom, he's throwing batting practice right now.
I know. You bat in practice. I play ball. I mean, I don't know. I give up. You're done.
All right. I appreciate the call, Tom. You can grab his line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. I don't get it. I don't get the point there. He says, well, Price sucked for a while. Yeah, and everybody got on him. Actually, everybody legitimately got on him. Everybody was all over him. And I get it. Chris Sale's different with the personality. Chris Sale's actually accountable. We heard excuses with David Price when he wasn't good. But David Price turned it around. But everybody was all over David Price. People wanted him to opt out of the contract. I don't get it. So now I'm all over Chris Sale because he pitched poorly. It seems like most people in this town aren't all over Chris Sale. Most people are supporting Chris Sale, and they have blind faith that eventually Chris Sale is going to figure it out. Although we have no proof of that. The data that we have over the past couple of years is actually not good for Chris Sale. The data we have over the past couple of years is that in September, he's actually going to be worse. That's the trend for Chris Sale over the past three seasons. April to August, he's great. In September, he sucks. Okay, October, he sucks, or he's injured. One of the two things. So why do people think he's going to turn around this year? What's going to be different? And in fact, he just started the regression, if you will, earlier this season. I have no faith whatsoever that he could turn it around. I wish he could. I used to love watching Chris Sale pitch. Like I said, it was appointment television. Now, it's kind of like that show that you don't want to watch. You don't know what's going to happen when Chris Sale goes out there. In fact, you're worried that it's going to be a bad outcome every time he takes the mound. At what point are his teammates going to grow aggravated with his performance? I get it. He goes in there. He tells them, it's my fault. I suck all this. But at some point, I mean, this is going to be exhausting for the guys watching him out there. It's going to be tough for them to watch because clearly he wants to get it right, but he just can't figure it out. And they have no answers whatsoever. All right. Your phone number is 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on board. What do you make of your ace, Chris Sale? Also want to get to something Brad Stevens said this week that really stuck out to me. I did not like it. I'll get to that in just a little bit. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.